I had prayed and prayed, and I had asked the Lord, show me what you want me to preach. And I just wasn't getting it. I just wasn't hearing from the Lord. And so I came to church this morning, and during Sunday school, he gave it to me. And, you know, the Lord doesn't do that to me very often. Probably he knows I'd have a stroke if he did. But, you know, when things like that happen, here's what I always think about. God promised us, it's written right in his word, Jesus himself spoke it. He promised us that the things that we would ask in prayer, believing, that we would receive. But he never promised us when the answer will come, did he? And so when we pray, we need to hang on to God, and we need to trust that the Lord is going to answer in his time. I'm afraid sometimes that I have missed out. I'm afraid sometimes that we have missed out as a people and lost our faith because maybe we weren't patient enough to just wait on the Lord. But I believe wholeheartedly what Jesus told us. If we'll pray and believe, he'll hear our prayers and he'll answer our prayers. And thank God that he will. And so I want you to pray for Brother Ralph tonight as he stands before us. I love him very much, and I appreciate the man that he is, the preacher that he is. I appreciate what he stands for. I'm thankful for his humble spirit, and you pray for him tonight, and we're thankful that he was willing to come and bring the message this evening. So Brother Ralph.
God bless you, preacher.
Brother Miller, I'm going to answer the question you asked me when you got here tonight. I've had the same experience. Until just a few minutes ago, I really didn't know. I want to thank God tonight for the salvation of my soul. I want to thank him for all the blessings that he has put upon me. Most all of you have heard my testimony of how I wasn't brought up and raised up in a church really of any faith, any denomination. My parents didn't go to a church that I can remember. One of the hardest things that I've done in my life was preach my father's funeral. I never heard him talk about the Lord. When I got there and time come to stand, the Lord gave me the liberty to stand and to preach. I really didn't understand. But the Lord knew that I needed some kind of security to hold on to. After the funeral and most of the people had gone, I had an uncle and an aunt and a cousin that were there at mother's house. We got into a conversation, and they started talking. They started telling how that they could remember my dad and all his brothers and his sisters, and there were 12 of them, how that my grandfather had a piano there and they'd gather around the piano and they'd sing gospel songs. And you know, that put hope within my heart. My prayer today, if there's someone here and lost, and if you've not been saved, that you'll seek after the Lord with all your heart. But I also want to say to you, if you've been saved and you've never told it, please tell. It means everything to those loved ones. It'll mean everything to them to know that they have an opportunity to see you again one day after a while up in heaven. You know, that's all I have to hold on to. I hope and pray that he found the Lord there. I've also asked myself, why would the Lord call me to preach? I never read the Bible until after I was saved, January 10th of 99, right here. I never really understood. But then I found out with talking to them, I had two great uncles that were Baptist preachers. It made my heart good. While we was there, a song come on my heart. I started just singing right there in the living room. And my mother scooted over right beside me and started singing with me. Singing that song. And then I come to find out that she used to go to a little Baptist church. And she used to be in a little choir. And they'd go around. There was four of them. They dressed just alike in white dresses. And they'd go to different churches singing gospel music. And I have that to hold on to. But I've still not heard a testimony. But I do have that to hold on to. And it's a hope. But if you've been saved, tell people. Stand up and let it be known. The Lord has saved your soul. The Lord has saved my soul. And I want the whole world to know. Brother Matt Miller asked me when I got here if I had a message ready. And then he said that he didn't know until Sunday school. I just had to smile because I knew that I didn't really have it ready either. I need your prayers. As I was studying this week there at the motel, I kept reading, and I was thinking about Mother's Day coming up. Then at lunchtime one day, I was sitting there in the truck, and I was eating a sandwich. And Brother Joey had made us a tape. One of the songs on there was One Little Baby. One Little Baby. You know, that song touched my heart, and I got to thinking about mothers. With God's help, maybe I can allow him to use me to make something of this tonight. First chapter, the book of Genesis, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I'd like to turn over to chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Again, I ask for your prayers here tonight. As we can see here from the very beginning, Adam and Eve, God blessed Eve with a child, a little baby child. And I can't help but think how that, you know, Eve, when she had that little baby, how that she nourished it and how she nurtured it and how she took care of it, much as mothers do today. I can't help but think at how she loved that child. But there again we read how that, and I want you to keep this in mind, how that that child came because Adam and Eve had came together. See, God, when he created man, he put man, flowers, everything on this earth, he put the seed there within each one. The seed of man is within man. The seed of a flower is within a flower, and it makes of its own kind. In chapter 27, verse 6, we have an illustration of another mother. It says here, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said unto Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and he fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob her son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave savory meat and bread, which she had prepared to him the hand of her son Jacob. I think I'm going to stop right there. Here we see how this mother thought so much of her son that she was willing to do anything that she thought would better him. And I believe that's the way most mothers are today. Whatever it takes. And you know, most mothers today, you talk to them, and they don't say anything about things that they have done or things that maybe they have deceived themselves or that they have deprived themselves of for their children. You won't hear a mother say that. But yet, you look at children and how that they go about and go through life, and they've received things from their mothers. Their mothers brought them into this world, and they give them everything that they could possibly give them. The love that they need. They bring them up into this world, and I pray to God that most all of them would bring them to a church where they could hear the Word of God, even though there are some out there that do not. And I pray for them. But you know, every one of them, Every one of those mothers are willing to do whatever it takes to better the life of their children. Those children, each and every one of them, need to be saved. There's not a one of them out there in this world today that do not need the Lord. Nowadays, more than ever, because we can look around and we can see everything that's going on. The wars that are going on. I look at Sister Gail and I think of Dustin over there and fighting. I thank God that I've heard his testimony of when the Lord saved his soul. But think of all those others that are over there that have never been to church, just like I was when I was a young man. Oh, I thank God that he kept me long enough that I was able to come to a place where I could hear the gospel and hear the truth. But there are many of them over there that may have died not knowing, not ever hearing the word of God. And you know, God doesn't want it that way. He wants each and every one of them to go. He tells us in his word to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel. You know, you don't have to be called to preach to spread the gospel. Everything you do every day, people see. I was at work the other day. Someone was talking about something and I just walked away. It seems like that happens a lot to me at work, being in the construction business, and some of them get to talking in a pretty rough manner. And you know, in my position, sometimes I have to stay there and I have to listen to them, but you know, when I can, I just walk away. I had one man come up to me at lunchtime Thursday. He come up to me and he asked me, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Well, yes, I am." I said, "The Lord called me to preach, and I do a weak job of it, I know. But yes, I am a preacher." You'd be surprised how much that changes people to come and talk to you. Yeah. They won't come to you and talk like they had before. They change their language. And you know, that same man on Friday, he come up to me and he said, "You know, I was talking to my wife on the phone. She said, you know, you don't talk like you did. Well, you're not talking like you was the other day." So I guess working with a preacher's helping you. I pray that be the case, but it's not me. It's what the Lord has put in here. You know, the Lord has put the same thing within every child of God. Within every one of you that has been saved by the grace of God, you have that spirit within you that will show that the little things that you do, the very smallest things that you do, people see, and they will take notice of that. You let people know that you don't appreciate the way they talk. Yes, there's some of them that they're arrogant enough that they're just going to keep and continue on and maybe do it the more. But there are those out there that they'll take heed of that. And they'll see within you that light that God had placed in there. I thank God that he had placed that light within me. But you know, I have to be in a place. Ralph Davison, has to be in a place where God can let that light shine through me. I can hinder God. I pray that I don't. Lord, I pray I don't. But I can hinder God by not standing up and testifying when he puts it upon my heart. I thank God for the services we've had here the past few weeks. I thank God for just being able to be here. Because, you know, as most all of you know, I've been out of town working away and I haven't been able to come. You don't know how. Some of you may. But you don't know how much it means to be able to come into God's house among the people you love and to be able to worship God and feel the Spirit through them. It is such a blessing. It's such a blessing to be here and know that people are praying for you. I thank God for each and every one of you for praying for me while I was away. But you know, we also need to be praying for those that are out in this world. because every one of them need God. They're in need of our prayers because God hears our prayers. And He can put conviction down upon every one of them. And He will if we get down upon our knees. I thank God that we heard about that great meeting they had there in Louisville. You know, that's what we need here. We need that right here, and we need it now. And we can have that now. If we'll get down upon our knees and we'll beg God and we'll obey what He gives us to do, no matter what it is. You know, I'm getting a little bit off track. But I'm not going to apologize. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." And there's a very key saying right there. You know how we said, how it said that how that Adam and Eve came to know each other, and how that Cain was born through them coming together. That was through the seed of man. Here we see how that Jesus, when He was born into this world, how that He was fathered by God. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, He was not of the seed of man. And He came into this world. All those little children that were born before, all those little children that have been born since, and that includes you and me. We were babies once. We were born in this world through the seed of man. And we need God. One little baby. One little baby born into this world. The seed of God came into this world. And I can't help but think of that song Brother Joey sang, how He, when He came into this world, He come in knowing that that crown of thorns would be put upon His head. Knowing that those stripes would be upon His back, that He would be spit upon. He come into this world knowing that, but yet He willingly came for you and for me, that we could have a life eternal there with Him in heaven. One little baby born into this world. One little baby died for me. That one little baby, God's only begotten Son, He came and He gave His very life's blood for each and every one of us. Every one of us that is a child of God, we know that in our hearts. We come to a point where God made that known to us in our hearts. And we came to a point that we knew that we were sinners. And we bowed down. It might not have been at an altar. Brother Dawson, that offense row, and those others had laid across their own beds at home. We know we come to a point that we knew that there was nothing else that we could do but turn to God and beg Him for forgiveness. You know, I came... When I was saved, the pulpit used to stand about right here. There's that spot, Brother Strode. Yeah. Right there. That's that spot that I have where the Lord reached down and He touched my heart. And He took all those sins and He cast them away. And He clothed me with the blood of Jesus. Each and every one of you that has been saved, you have a spot. It might not be right there. It may be over there. It may be in another county. It may be in another state. But you have a spot where the Lord reached down from heaven. That little baby that came into this world, He knew that they was going to drive those nails through His hands. But He'd spread His arms out and they'd hang Him up there on that tree. He knew that. But yet he did that so you could have that spot, wherever it may be. That's why he did that. Don't we owe him our very lives that we have here on this earth? The time that we have to be a witness to those that do not know him, to be able to tell the whole world about him. We owe that to our Lord and Savior. We owe that to our God. God help each and every one of us to be a witness for him. You know, our revival is coming up shortly. I pray to God that we truly will be revived even before that scheduled time. If we can get our place, ourselves in a place. You know, I can remember when I was bowed down there and the Lord saved my soul. It was like he just reached down, he put his hands under my arms and just picked me up. The next day at work, I told everybody I seen what had happened. When I got up from this altar, I looked around and there were some of those that were still bowed down praying. And as happy as I was, my heart broke. We need to be in a place where our heart is breaking for those that are lost in this church. In the other churches, they're at Lions, no matter where they are. We need to be in that spot. And if we're not in that spot, we need to be down on our knees praying and asking God to put that burden upon us. You know, a very good friend of mine, when I first started preaching, were the Clayton Sinners. I heard him tell one time how that there was a man that was up in years, that every time the church doors was open, that he was there. If there was an invitation given or not, he'd come to the altar and he'd pray. But you see, he told how that man would come to the altar begging God to deal with him just one more time. Just one more time. See, God had dealt with him and he just let him pass by. He turned him away. And he didn't feel that burden in his heart. And he'd come and he'd pray knowing that he needed to be saved. But yet he didn't have that conviction upon his heart. And he prayed that the Lord would convict him that he could be saved. People, I hope we never see anybody like that. But you know, I blame myself partially for people in that condition. Because I have not prayed hard enough for them. I've not been in a place where the Lord could use me like he should. Like I should be used. I've got to be willing. You've got to be willing for the Lord to use you. You got to say, here I am, Lord. Whatever your will may be. I think I'm finished. I do have a request. I ask for your prayers again. As I told you a while ago, when I found out my mother used to be in a little gospel group, how my father used to go and sing around the piano, how my great uncles used to be Baptist preachers. You know, I was way up here, and I was ready. My heart was burdened to go out and preach. But then through work, my work here, the public work that I do, it kind of took me away. Again, I had a burden on my heart to go with Brother Collins down to Mobile. Again, work has put a hindrance on that. I ask that you all pray that the Lord will show me what I need to do. Thank you.